Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel, Foothill Ranch, with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
I've been having fun, haven't you?
Amen.
Definitely. They put in a lot of hard work, and it shows. Recently, I visited Shadi in the hospital. Many of you know who Shadi is. That's Susie's daughter. And she went in the hospital 8 months ago, and some things went wrong with the surgery. She's an invalid. She can barely move her arm here and her toes. And for part of the time we've been praying through these months, she's been unconscious. She's still on a breathing machine. But she fully can understand what I'm saying to her. So when I go to visit her, she is dialed in. She's paying attention, perhaps even more than you all do on Sunday morning when I'm up here. I mean, she is dialed in. You can see from the picture. She's a baby Christian. Danny had the privilege of leading her to the Lord after her first surgery. So she just kind of came to faith in Christ, but she was raised a Muslim, okay? And then she's been through all this trauma, and we haven't even been able to communicate with her for months and everything else that's happening. So now we can communicate with her, and I've come and I've visited her over the several months, and I've read scriptures to her, maybe some Psalms or different things that that the Lord wanted me to read to her, some things about Jesus. But when I went to visit her recently, I wanted to read to her a little bit of the Christmas story. So as I started to read, I found myself having to explain a whole lot of things in the Christmas story to this person who had perhaps never heard the Christmas story from the Bible ever before. And these are things that you and I have become so familiar with over the years. We take them so for granted. They're easy for us to understand. But as we read the Christmas story together this morning, I want you to read it, trying to read it with new eyes, as if it were your first time to read the text that shares to us this wonderful account of Jesus' birth. If you were to visit Shadi in the hospital and you were going to read some of the Christmas story to her, what part of the Christmas story would you choose to read to someone who's never heard it before? So in reviewing the Christmas accounts in the Bible, I came to discover that there are a whole lot of miraculous things that take place in the account of Jesus' birth. Things that perhaps leave us with more questions than answers. In fact, how would you react to a Christmas message from Pastor Steve that left you with more questions than answers? Do you remember what was spoken last year for the Christmas message? Does Pastor Steve remember what was spoken last year for the Christmas message? They all blur together, don't they? They all kind of blur together, and they make up the layers of our understanding of Christmas. Perhaps this one may be a little different for us. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would come and just communicate to us, speak to our hearts, Lord, as we want to enter into the Christmas message from your Holy Scripture afresh, anew. And Lord, we want to see it through the eyes of a child. See it through the eyes of someone who would hear this wonderful message for the first time. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to gain fresh insight and understanding that would provoke us to ponder the wonderful aspects of the birth of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. I'm going to begin in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Why would God make a plan that would cause a woman that is 9 months pregnant, just about ready to deliver a baby, have to ride on the back of a donkey for 3 days' journey to another city, Bethlehem? And why Bethlehem anyway? Why not Hebron? Hebron has a lot of biblical history. Beersheba, a lot of biblical history. Even Jerusalem, which is only a couple of miles away from Bethlehem, was certainly a city of significance to the Israeli people. Why Bethlehem? And why would God allow his son to be born in a stable and then to be placed into an animal feeding trough? What does that tell us about God? What does it tell us about Jesus? Our story continues. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Why did God give his message through the angels to shepherds? Why did they appear to shepherds? Why wouldn't he have had them appear to the religious leaders in Jerusalem? And why was the sign that God gave to the shepherds a baby in a manger? What was that all about? And also, if Jesus came to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men, why hasn't that happened? Why isn't there peace on our earth? Why isn't there goodwill toward men? It's been 2,000 years. Our Christmas story continues. "And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So what did all these people think about the news that the shepherds had brought to them that night? What were their thoughts after hearing all these things that the shepherds spoke about? And what exactly was Mary pondering in her heart? Now remember, the angel Gabriel had just appeared to Mary 9 months earlier. And that account is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, who also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." What if Mary would have said no to the angel? I mean, think about that. Could Mary have said no? What if she did say no? Then what would this Christmas story read like if Mary had said no to the angel? Has God ever asked you to do something? Has God ever told you what he wanted you to do and his plans for your life, and you said no? Yeah? One honest person here. Yeah. What if Mary said no? And are you willing to allow God to do a miracle in your heart today? Are you willing to allow God to perform his will in your life today? Are you allowing for God to bring healing, to do some sort of created thing within you that would change your life? Possibly change your family or your marriage? Would you say yes to God, or would you say no? What if Mary would have said no? And what about Joseph? We read about him in Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What would have happened if Joseph said no to the angel? How would our Christmas story have played out then? And what does it mean that Jesus would be called Emmanuel, God with us? What's that all about? Well, the Apostle John gives us some sort of an indication. He says in his gospel, he begins the first words of, In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it continues, and he says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. So God in flesh, how is that possible? How is that possible? And what does it mean for baby Jesus to be God? And how can God, the creator of the universe, become a 5 or 6 pound, 7, 8 pound baby that cries for his mother's milk? How is that possible? And how could God allow himself to be so vulnerable? But let me ask you a question. Has Jesus Christ been born in your life today? Is that real in your life? Is he alive and real in your personal life today? And what about the wise men? Remember them? In Matthew chapter 2, we find out about them. It says, Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then in verse 10 it goes on, And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. How many wise men were there? Who were they? Were they kings? Because the Christmas songs say they were kings. And why do the Christmas songs say a lot of things that the Bible doesn't say? And these wise men followed a star. Did they also follow their horoscope? Doesn't the Bible prohibit astrology? aren't these people, these foreign wise men, aren't they worshipers of a foreign religion? Didn't they practice forbidden rituals? Is it possible for God to lead us from a false understanding of God and a false religion to come to know the true living God and to know Jesus Christ, his Son? And how does God guide you? How is he leading you today? And have you been obedient or have you been resistant to God's leading, to God's guidance? And how does God speak to me? How does he speak to you? Is he speaking to you? If so, what is he saying? And if God were to ask you to go on a journey that would take you several months or perhaps years, would you obey him? Would you go? And while we're asking questions, why is Pastor Steve not answering more of the questions that he's asking today? Yeah. And what about the gifts that these wise men brought? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For a baby? How many of your children would be happy with just three gifts for Christmas? Gold. And whatever happened to all that gold? Was it used to pay bribes at the border for this family that when they fled into Egypt? Was it used to help them to provide for their family for 2 years while they sojourned as immigrants in a foreign land? And frankincense, didn't they use that in the worship of their false gods? What on earth would Joseph and Mary have done with frankincense? And myrrh, myrrh is an embalming spice for a baby? An embalming spice? Was this to remind us that the purpose that God sent his Son into the world would eventually be that God would give his Son for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In one of the popular Christmas carols we sing, it says, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. So what does that mean to have Jesus Christ be born in us? What does it mean if you're here today and you're an unbeliever? What does that mean for your life as an unbeliever to have Jesus Christ born in you today? How about if you're a believer? As a believer in Jesus Christ, what does it mean to have Jesus Christ born in us today? And has Jesus been born in your heart today? Those are questions, important questions for us to ponder at this Christmas time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the Christmas story, we're left with a lot of questions. But perhaps the biggest question we must ask ourselves is, what does Christmas truly mean to me? And Lord, as we read the Christmas story, we find that everyone that was encountered with Christmas and the Christ of Christmas, every one of them, their lives were changed dramatically. In fact, there's only one person in the Christmas accounts of the Scripture who remains unchanged. We didn't read about him. His name was King Herod. And he was the only one in the Christmas story that said no to God. Lord, I pray that each one of us will, like the shepherds, like the wise men, like Joseph and like Mary, Lord, that we will say yes to you all the days of our life, with everything that you ask us to do and every plan that you have for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends, and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.